You certainly are, and the time is coming up to 8 minutes past 11 each month, and I'm welcoming them back. A fantastic organisation now, the Hospital Research Foundation, come back again for another year, and one of the things I really enjoy is that they have special guests that they bring in to talk about the great work they're doing in specific areas. I'm going to try this. Clementine Labariscino, no?
Almost. Very good.
Welcome, Clementine. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on the show today.
My pleasure. Let's go back and talk a bit about you yourself. Where did you... were you born in South Australia?
Yep. So I was born in South Australia. My dad was born in Italy and my mum was born in Argentina.
Okay.
And so dad went to Argentina and they got married there and came here about... 40 years ago.
Wow. Straight to Adelaide?
Yes, they came straight to Adelaide.
Well, not bad.
Yeah.
Good about that. In your early days, where did you school?
I went to St. Gabriel's in Enfield.
Oh, yes, I know it. Yep.
And then I did my secondary school at Our Lady of the Sacred Heart College in Enfield.
You know that one too.
Yep.
When you were in Our Lady of Sacred Heart, were you beginning to form ideas what you'd like to do in the future?
Yeah, so from an early age, I really enjoyed doing the science and maths in school, that sort of thing. But I always wanted to be a doctor. That was my goal.
Wow. Yeah.
I liked watching all those medical shows and, yeah, where everyone else was grossed out and I thought it was so cool. So,
did you have a favourite show?
No, just anything really that had medical things in it. Mm.
So that was the ultimate aim, still the aim?
Yeah, one day I would still like to do medicine, even if I'm, old later on in life. But for now, I'm quite happy doing what I'm doing and helping out the community.
Fantastic. So when you left school, straight to uni or did you have a year off?
No, I went straight to uni. I did a Bachelor of Science.
How many years was that?
That was a 3-year degree, yeah.
Looking back on it, and I like to talk to younger people because when they finish senior school, some are really tired, washed out, but quite a lot go straight on to university. And maybe pull out, maybe because they're tired and everything like that. Did you find that, or do you find a lot of your friends had a year off before they hit the books again in uni?
Not many of my friends took the year off, the gap year, but I suppose when I went through year 12, it was quite stressful.
Mm.
There were 5 subjects back then, whereas now they've cut it down to 4 and a research subject as well. So, yeah, I would recommend not getting so stressed over the year 12 because it's just 1 year in your life and it doesn't really impact the rest of your life.
It's interesting you say that because I sense that a lot of students who really want to get good marks really do give many, many hours. And it really does nearly knock them out. And in some cases, there are cases of depression and they take a long time to recover. Maybe as a result of the marks they thought they would get and they didn't get.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I went through depression as well when
Did you?
I went through high school and then into uni. There's, I guess it's very stressful. But looking back also, I mean, I stressed myself out. I studied for hours and hours on exams. But then in the end, I didn't really do very well with my score, my ATAR score at the end of the year, TER score, whatever it was called. So really looking back, I should have taken things a bit easier and put things into perspective is what I've really learned.
Yeah, that, it's really nice to say that because I had a young lady on by the name of Kristen Carson who turned out to be the young South of you just 2 or 3 years ago.
Yep.
And her background was similar to that. And it impressed me because she barely got through year 12, didn't go to uni, went to TAFE.
Yep.
Which I hope was a lot better than what it is now at the moment. But but did a lot of practical work, which then enabled her to get a lot more aware of things and then go on to uni, to do master or whatever she wanted to do later. Is that a good idea, do you think? I mean, I guess it wouldn't suit everybody, but maybe it does to broaden out your experience.
Yeah, so when I did my 3 years of bachelor's degree, it was very much just university, labs, back home, that sort of thing. But when I started doing honours the year after, I got to interact with patients, and that's really what I enjoyed. And I've learned so much just talking to people, just interacting with people, and you just grow so much as a person as well.
I imagine you would, because, I mean, nothing like what you've done, but going through training to be a police officer, they can give you all the theory in the world.
Yep.
But until you actually face-to-face with people, and I learnt very quickly sometimes what the public's like, but in your case, you're dealing with actual people would have been... What did you gain from that? Just the way they talked to you or shared, or your ability to be able to glean from them?
Well, I guess sometimes when you go into a patient's room and you've read through their medical records or something and you know what's clinically wrong with them, but then you go and you sit down and talk to these people and you ask them questions just about general life, and they tell you about their pets, or they'll tell you about their grandchildren, and, you know, then that puts that things into perspective as well, because this is a real human being that you're working with. And some of these people, unfortunately, don't have very many family and friends that come in and, you know, talk to them while they're in hospital. And it feels good as well as a researcher, just being able to support that person, because sometimes just a little hand, especially if we go back to talking about depression and anxiety and mental health issues, sometimes just having someone there to listen to you is all that you need.
Absolutely. No, I love what you're saying. It's very, very true indeed. So we moved on, and now you're at Basil Hetzel Institute. How did that all come about?
So when I finished my bachelor's degree, I was looking at what I could do in afterwards, and I was interested in blood vessels. So I started doing something called myography, and what that is we took blood vessels from rats and we were looking at them under a microscope, and it was fun, but it was very tiring and looking under a microscope, tiny blood vessels.
Yeah.
And then I saw that this same professor, Professor Beltrami, who I work with at the Basil Hetzel Institute, he also did lots of quality of life stuff, and that's when I became interested in talking to people and just asking questions. And I was lucky enough to do my honours degree at the Basil Hetzel Institute as well, supported by the Hospital Research Foundation. And I worked with people that had peripheral artery disease. So that's just people that had pain in their legs because of issues with the arteries in their legs.
Okay. I mean, that is a very important area, isn't artery problems, as we get old, or can it happen with young people too?
It generally happened in the older population, especially in smokers. That was generally the population I was working with. But again, lots of these people had a range of different problems, and it was interesting to talk to them. And I learnt a lot just talking to people. Yeah.
So you're in your third year, on my information of that?
Yeah, no, so I then went on to do a PhD.
Right.
And this was in looking at the number of patients that die and return to hospital following heart problems in Australia. So this was a bit different as well, because I was doing more statistics work. So I went in and I did a statistics course, and I learned how to use big data and those sort of techniques. And at the same time, I still wanted to keep that patient perspective in there. So one of the problems that we think could be causing patients to come back to hospital is when they're in hospital for the first time, they can be sleep deprived, because you know that
absolutely.
It's stress. Noisy, stressful, there's all different problems. So what I'm doing is asking patients to wear a small watch on their wrist that's kind of like a Fitbit device. So depending on your movement, it'll tell us whether you're awake or asleep, and we measure sleep, and we do some questionnaires as well, and then we want to see whether that's related to people coming back to hospital.
What are you finding so far, or have you just started that?
No, we've done about three quarters of the work so far, and yeah, so I get to talk to patients and really tell me all the problems that are wrong with our hospitals, which is
interesting.
Yes, but what we're finding with that is that there could be some small correlation between the two, but nothing large so far.
I think it's great to be able to go to the horse's mouth for a better way of explaining it, because people will talk openly once they feel confident in who they're talking to. Do you find that?
Yeah. So if we just by talking to the patients, you get, a really get down to the problem and see what's going on.
What I'm sensing, Clementine, is that you're expanding your learning, in other words, becoming multi-skilled in different areas.
Yep.
Glad you're doing that, because if people are narrow in where they go, it's not automatically able to get jobs.
Yeah, it's not just about jobs, though. I mean, you need to have an open mind when you're doing any kind of research, I think. Just to solve problems in general, you should be open to different ways of approaching the problem.
Congratulations on that. I'm quite proud of you. That's wonderful. No, that's great. Tell us about the time you spent with the American Heart Association.
So last year I was lucky enough to go to the American Heart Association conference.
Whereabouts was that held?
Held in Anaheim in California.
Didn't go to Disneyland, did you?
Oh, we spent one day there.
That's fair enough.
And I was lucky enough to be sponsored by the Hospital Research Foundation on my trip. I want to just say thank you to all the listeners who do donate to the Hospital Research Foundation, because we do really appreciate the funding.
Absolutely.
And what I was lucky enough to present was my work on people that come back to hospital with heart attacks.
Okay.
So what we did was we took data from the entire country using sort of mathematical equations and big programs to do this. And we took that data and we looked for patients that had been hospitalized for a heart attack. And we wanted to see how many people came back with either a heart attack or something completely different. And what we found was that about 1 in 5 patients that suffered that heart attack came back into our hospitals in Australia and New Zealand. And these numbers were quite similar to the US numbers, because they've done this before as well. But it's quite alarming. I mean, you don't want your family or friend who's just had a heart attack to come back within a month of suffering that heart attack. And what was interesting was that about 30% of these patients came back with heart-related issues, but the rest of them were coming back with infections or a variety of different things.
Interesting. Yeah. Is there, in your mind, then enough help when a person has a heart attack? They've got to go. They go to hospital, and God willing, everything comes out okay. Then out the door they go, and that can be very difficult, I guess, in their own mind, if they didn't expect this to happen, and they could be all different ages. Heart attacks are not choosy. Do you sense that could be a problem, that there's not enough help out there, or is it up to the individual with family to try and work through?
From my experience with talking to patients and things, there are some things that we could be doing better as medical professionals, but also you need that support from family and friends, and hopefully people in society are getting that as
well. Yeah, I sincerely hope so. Hospital Research Foundation, they're pretty good, aren't they?
Yep.
They've really supported you, and I can understand why. You're very vibrant and you're very positive, and I'm most impressed already about the great work you're doing. And I guess the question I'd like to ask, once you've completed all this PhD and studies, where to?
So I really enjoy research because I get to learn different things all the time. And I really enjoy the quality of life aspect, especially in heart disease. But I would one day like to expand that into children's heart problems, because I know that 1 in 8 children in Australia are born with heart problem every day. And that's an area that's always really, I don't know why, interests me. And
that's
one
great.
Day, yeah, I would like to do some more research into that.
Once you finish PhD, you're going to have to travel the world to gain greater experience, do you think?
Yeah, so by going overseas, you can learn so much. I mean, just from my experience in the US, I got to talk to people from all over the world that were doing similar research, and you get to talk to them and spread different ideas and that sort of thing. So it's really helpful. For the time being, I'd like to stay put in South Australia, I think, for a while longer.
Thank heavens. We need people of your expertise to stay with us. No, that's great. And I think it should be a thing. So putting it all in a basket, it can be a slow process with research work. Do you find it hard to keep it motivated? I don't think you will. And what's the ultimate aim for you, do you think?
So I think that sometimes, yes, it does get a bit frustrating, but for me, what keeps me going is having those days where I get to go into the hospital, talk to the patient, and, you know, you're just spending half an hour talking to someone who really needs that, and you can tell, and you just feel great afterwards as well. That keeps me going every day. But most probably in the future, what I'd still like to do is to study medicine. I would love to just be able to study that and hopefully do surgery or something along those lines later on.
Well, I really, really hope you achieve what you want, because you're very vibrant. Thanks. You're delightful to talk to, and congratulations for the work you're doing. What impresses me is not only you sitting over a microscope, but you get out and talk to people.
Yep.
And Matt, that is a wonderful thing to do. So congratulations. You're a delight, and keep your work going.
Thanks.
Been a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you.